This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with a special update on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and the Dakota Access Pipeline protest that is happening at the Sacred Stone Camp. You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Here is some of the information we gathered about the confrontation between water protectors and DAPL workers and their hired security forces with strike dogs. Medics from the camp confirmed 12 people were maced in the face. Approximately 30 were sprayed, but only a dozen required treatment. Many others were also misted with mace. 6 people were bitten, including a pregnant woman and a young child who had to be hospitalized. There is no update on the severity of her conditions. The pregnant woman is not severely injured, but shaken and traumatized. One observer, Banlex Dupree, posted online, "There were no signs posted that dangerous dogs would be present, and that the lack of warning signs combined with the lack of verbal warnings from the security guards should be considered illegal." Videos and photos posted by the organizers and protesters on social media accounts document an unidentified plainclothes security guard in a blue shirt and dark glasses with a tattoo reading "Born in America" on his forearm, violently body slamming a native protester to the ground. The bloodied muzzle of a strike dog after injuring peaceful protesters, and the macing of unarmed and peaceful men, women, and children on the front lines of the protest. Helicopters and a fixed-winged aircraft circled above and relayed information down to the security forces working together in tandem to deter protesters from overtaking the fence and stopping bulldozers from continuing to desecrate their sacred burial sites and prayer sites. Come on, guys.
Women, we linked arms and we went up to the front line and we started pushing through, and we weren't like literally pushing, we were just walking, and this guy comes, he's a private contractor security, and he started spraying her, and then he started spraying right along everyone who was linked up.
I don't know how to get this thing, my whole body is all hot.
What's your name, where are you from?
Orvin Flying Horse from Bullitt, South Dakota.
On us, and they started spraying us. Before I got sprayed, I seen dogs biting people indiscriminately, including Dakota Access Pipeline workers.
I was just going toward the truck with my dog, and then the guy just leaned out and pepper sprayed me. Thankfully, it didn't hit my dog, but I just got mace all over my eyes.
People
for one nation,
for one nation,
we stand
for water,
for water,
for life,
for life,
we stand.
People are demanding accountability and answers for the assaults on protesters by security forces, from the CEO of Energy Transfer Partners, Kelsey Warren, who is responsible for building the pipeline. Warren is a businessman worth $4 billion who lives in the wealthy Preston Holloway enclave of Dallas, Texas.
Okay, good afternoon. Thanks. We're from Colorado River Indian Tribes, located in Parker, Arizona. Took us a couple of days to get here, too. And we're going to get ready to head back. We won't be home until Monday. So what we want to do is, we're going to do some songs on our way home. But we'd like to... What we have here is a red-tailed hawk staff. It's the warrior staff of our people. And we want to present that to the Standing Rock tribe as a representation of the Colorado River Indian Tribes, Mojave, Hopi, Navajo, and Chemehuevi people, that we were here. We were going to go home, and we're going to tell the story that happened today that'll probably leave a main impression on our own people's lives. When it went down, we saw what happened, and we'll go home and we'll tell the story of the dogs being sick on Indian people. We'll talk about how the bulldozer almost ran over an Indian person just for being an Indian. We'll talk about how we are affected by industry, how little life means to industry when it comes to dollars. And we'll spread the word that all nations were here when we were here. We were honored to sing for Mr. Dennis Banks when we were asked when that happened, that we were here. And we'll go home and we'll tell our people. We'll tell them the truth. We'll tell them what really happened. And we'll tell them how we saw Mother Earth being torn so quickly with no recuse. This is here. This is prayer. All we're doing is praying. Would this happen in a church? Would this happen in a graveyard? It would be genocide. And that's what's happening here. And we want to make sure that you know we got the message when we came here. We saw what was done. And now we'll go home and we'll tell the story. So on behalf of the Colorado River Indian Tribes, we'd like to present to Standing Rock Tribe this red-tailed hawk. Now we'd like to sing a few songs for our way out. We want to thank everybody. This is a great day to be Indian, huh? It's a great day to be alive and well, and we're still alive no matter what. We're still here and we'll persevere. God bless everybody.
Here at home, many on the front lines and within the state of North Dakota are also demanding transparency from their governor, Jack Dalrymple, who is said to own stock in the oil which this pipeline, if finished, would carry. And given the financial gain he stands to benefit from the completion of the pipeline, many question his declaration of emergency for the state, which he's used to heavily increase the number of police forces sent to patrol the camp and surrounding areas, build military-style barricades, rerouting and impeding the steady traffic to the protest site, all while withdrawing emergency services like water and paramedics from the Sacred Stone Camp. This is Wania Locke describing the attack on peaceful protesters and updates of what's going on at the camp.
Hey, everybody. So I'm currently driving to someplace that I have service at because on site there is no service. What happened today was people did their daily walk to Ground Zero, and when they were standing there and praying, No Dapple showed up with their private security, and they had attack dogs, and they were macing people. North Dakota HP did not come in and protect the people. I think it's really disgusting that they would do it on that level. Thankfully, everyone is safe, everyone is okay, and no one was severely injured. But at the same time, they were severely mocking people. The 10 code and Delta Force that are brought in, the private security, were severely mocking the people, just showing that ugly racism that lives here, that literally lives here. So again, this is an environmental racism, this is economic racism, and then physically, like, racial racism. There's so many different levels that we need. And then we ask that when you come, that you come with that dignified manner. You come with dignified rage when you come to camp. You got to realize that this is in litigation right now. So I'm all down for nonviolent direct action. I am. But this is in litigation, and we need to allow our Standing Rock Sioux tribe to take the lead on this, because there's 188 tribes that are standing in solidarity with us, and this can be an epic precedent case, and we just really need the unity on board. So again, that's what's going on in Cannonball, North Dakota, There's a hip hop fest going on right now with Natani Means and Culture Shock and all the other artists that are in camp right now. So there is a lot of unity. The Aztecs just got done through dancing, so that was really cool. And all the other tribes that have come in, I think now the number is more than, I think the number is at 200 now. So, Doksha.
And the Aztecs, Mexicas, were not the only tribe to join over the weekend. With the long holiday, the camp swelled to between 8 and 10,000 people, estimates say. In fact, support for Standing Rock and the water protectors of the Sacred Stone Camp has flooded in from all over the country in the form of support and supplies. Busloads of protesters make their way from all four corners to come defend the water, the sacred Mother Earth, and the way of life for the Ocheti Sakoan, the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. On the other side of the pond, Joe Hamilton from Scotland made a walk for justice at Dachau Nazi concentration camp in support of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe.
Good morning. My name is Joe Hamilton. I'm a Scotsman and I live here in southern Germany. And what you see behind me is the very first Nazi concentration camp, Dachau. That's the entrance. I came here today to show my solidarity with the indigenous warriors who are protesting against the Dakota Access Pipeline in the USA. And the latest news is that the state troopers or the police or whoever those people are in uniform who are trying to protect the interests of these psychopaths who are doing yet another project that's going to destroy Mother Earth. These fools set pit bulls, dogs, on the peaceful protesters who have been chaining themselves to the machines, women and children and men, just trying to stop this madness. So that's why I've come here. I'm going to do a walk today, walk around the camp from sunrise to sunset. The sun's just coming up. So that's what this is about today. And later when the camp opens, I'll go inside and try to explain why this is the perfect place, as tragic as it is, this is the perfect place to show that people just don't learn from their past mistakes. Because what happened in here, the brutality and the madness, that is something that the indigenous people in the reservations in America can relate to, because it happened to them and it's been happening to them for hundreds of years. So nothing that happened here hasn't happened to them. And that's why I came here to this concentration camp. So I'll check in later. Cheers.
But the Sacred Stone Camp has not been feeling the love from local law enforcement. In her censored news blog, Brenda Norell posted this statement about the false allegations about Native water protectors being made by Morton County Sheriff's Office. The Morton County Sheriff's Office is currently making false statements to the public. The Morton County Sheriff has made false claims that the Native American water protectors were violent. However, the photos and videos reveal the truth. Peaceful protesters were attacked by Pipeline's private security. The false statements of the Morton County Sheriff's Office made to the media in the Bismarck area could be used to justify force against the peaceful Native American water protectors. Sacred Stone Camp leader and organizer Wania Locke speaks about the day and remaining nonviolent.
Hey, everybody. today's action was really, really saddening and disheartening because Dakota Access took out grave sites and burial sites on areas, and a TIPO had to be called in, and our people went through the fence to protect the deceased, and when they did, they were attacked by dogs, and they were maced, and so this was a tactic to entice fear. But what they did is they only sent to the media, they only sent to Bismarck and to the Tribune of us fighting back the dogs and being maced. Basically, we were protecting ourselves. Remember, we are unarmed. Remember, we are nonviolent direct action. Standing in the way is nonviolent direct action. Physically standing in the way. And we have a lot of trained people here, and people are united. There's 188 tribes standing with us. This is the greatest indigenous movement. So that's what's going on with the media, is they're showing us attacking them, when in fact they attacked us first. And you know, the ones that literally sicked the dogs on us, they should have been charged with assault, because they're not deputized, they're private security. But that's how injustice our system is. So we need those prayers of strength and unity. We really need the unity right now, because what they wanted us to be angry, and they succeeded. And we really need those unification prayers right now. We need to be all on one page. Prayer is definitely movement, and prayers is what brought us together. And prayer is what we need to continue in. But, and also standing in action together is part of that prayer. But it needs to be a consensus, and we need to stand united. So I'm asking tonight that you pray for the continued healing of the people. And I also pray that you, for unity within us, that we stand strong and we stay focused, and that we have consensus.
Messages and news updates from the Sacred Stone Camp have all but been ignored by local and state media outlets. Much of the for-profit and consolidated media in the state have simply printed, without confirming any allegations, the press releases and statements from both DAPL workers and security, as well as from the Morton County Sheriff's Office, engendering in the process an incomplete media narrative that includes misinformation or outright lies. Here's Sacred Stone Camp leader and organizer Winnia Locke.
So G4S is the merchant group that DAPL has hired and attacked the people. And again, media is depicting us as drunks, as thugs, and we're not. We have entire families out there, and the fact that they would hire mercenaries, that should scare people. Because when I look at these small white towns like Mobridge, South Dakota, or Linton, North Dakota, or Huron, South Dakota, or Mitchell, knowing that full operative mercenaries can come in and destroy a whole town within the United States boundary of the home of the land of the free, protected by constitutional laws, yet their own rights are being violated. Non-natives need to really step up their game, like straight up. The indigenous North America has been holding it down this whole time, and you guys just really need to step up your game straight up. You need to realize what is constitutional law, what is federal law, what's the difference between court law, like all of it. Start educating yourself and quit believing the news. Straight up, quit believing your news. I think MTV does a better job of getting information out there than NBC or Fox News, man. If I want to see something real, I have to switch over to MTV. How crazy is that?
In addition to ignoring or misrepresenting the Ocheti Sakowin, the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, and the peaceful water protectors at the Sacred Stone Camp, many are also questioning the lack of media coverage and questioning of the lack of transparency in disclosing conflicts of interests of other state leaders, like John Hoven. As DesMog.com reported, North Dakota Senator John Hoven, an outspoken supporter of the Dakota Access Pipeline, is personally invested in some 68 oil-producing wells in his state under the name Mainstream Investors LLC, according to his most recent congressional personal financial disclosure form. 17 of those wells are owned by Continental Resources, a company whose CEO, Harold Hamm, serves as campaign energy advisor to Donald Trump. Those wells have a value of between $11,000 and $171,000, and 14 of them, named Wahpeton, are located within 18 miles of the Dakota Access Waterford City Terminal site. Ironically, Wahpeton is part of the namesake of the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate tribe, whose reservation sits in southeast North Dakota and northeast South Dakota. Adding insult to injury, it should also be noted that the Sisseton Wahpeton tribe passed a resolution in 2014 in opposition to the building of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Hoven's support of the pipeline has been heavily criticized by tribal members and three federal agencies. Crystal Tubles of the Red Warrior Camp said, "The committee should be comprised of people who will look out for the best interest of the Indian country, but it is turned into a gateway for predators to take advantage of Native American people and their lands." Hoven's investments also include 33 North Dakota-based oil wells, seven of which are owned by ExxonMobil's subsidiary, XTO, and Whiting Petroleum Corporation, both of which donated generously to his 2016 Senate campaign. In the Red River Valley, people also expressed their anger at media sources which provided misinformation, lies, or unsourced allegations from DAPL workers, their security, or the Morton County Sheriff. For example, after WDAY posted a story with the headline, "Many of the protesters of the Dakota Access Pipeline became violent Saturday afternoon," the majority of the comments pushed back on the station to source its information or correct its lies. Here are some of the choice comments. From Morgan Adland, WDAY, "Just because you post the story twice, it doesn't make your version correct. Correct yourself and quit being idiotic. Almost everyone knows the correct story. You just look stupid." From Mia Gappison, "Stop lying just to please the agenda you've been forced to put out by your governor. Speak the truth and have compassion and empathy for the people whose voices need to be heard." Joy Herbst said, "Harassed by attack dogs. The videos of bloody fanged dogs on leashes of private security officers. Really, you local news guys are just as bad as the nationals, twisting the truth. Who's waving money in your face for this? This is unbelievably upsetting." George McConnell wrote, "This is a total lie," again proving that the media, especially the local media, is controlled by racist bigots whose only wish is to follow their own agenda or because they have some stake in the big business that is causing the issue. Milka Spray said this, "So basically, you're a press release outlet, not a news organization. Got it. On the off chance that WDAY TV News does indeed prefer to outsource news gathering while they all stay in the office sipping their soy lattes and bottled waters, bemoaning the death of traditional journalism, Here's some actual reporting from Democracy Now. I never thought I'd be saying that about Democracy Now. As for the people saying the Indians were in the wrong yesterday, Dapple shifted construction that they told a judge they were going to postpone to sites that they were told the day before were probably sacred burial sites. That U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has admitted they don't have easements to build for and started bulldozing them. Ask yourselves how you'd feel if you discovered your grandparents' graves were about to be dug up to make a way for a McDonald's. Ask yourselves how you'd feel if you were told you and your family were about to star in the sequel to Flint, Michigan. Ask yourselves why the pipeline was unsafe when they wanted to build it upstream of Bismarck, but suddenly became safe when they decided to build it downstream. Ask yourselves if you truly believe the county had to declare a state of emergency just to claim overtime for the law enforcement officers on site. Ask yourselves why WDAY's reporting is so jarringly unrealistic compared to the multiple videos that managed to get out. So different, you'd be forgiven for thinking they were of two separate events. You have a brain. Start using it. And now, let's listen to some drumming and singing to welcome back the water defenders to the camp after their confrontation with Dapple workers and security. Juanita Jumping Eagle is a doctor for the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, an activist who was arrested along with Sioux Tribal Chairman Dave Archambault at the Dapple site, and the wife of Chase Iron Eyes, the Democratic candidate for Congress. She had this to say about the opposition. They are afraid because land and water protectors are right. The laws are on our side, even if police enforcement and local media are not. Police were not initially present yesterday when Dakota Access Pipeline and the Enbridge Company again engaged in the unlawful acts, a violation of the National Historic Preservation Act, the National Environmental Protection Act, and engaged in multiple civil and human rights violations. Both companies and the security company deliberately engaged in violent acts on the spirituality and life forces of our people. This includes destroying known grave sites and powerful prayer sites. United States citizens were physically assaulted, attacked with vehicles, canines, and with mace or pepper spray. Once the police did arrive, as I watched from a distance, the police stood at the fence. The security company that Dakota Access has employed will continue to tell lies to cover up their own criminal acts and stupidity. Dakota Access and Enbridge are using canines on peaceful protesters and telling lies to police and local media, who are all too willing to spread the lies. Thankful to social media, internet news sites, and national media, thankful to all of those sharing the truth of the peaceful resistance of No Dapple and the true unity of the many nations gathered at the crossing of the Missouri River and River of the Sacred Stones to protect our drinking water and sacred lands. While we are hurt by the spiritual pain of their actions on our prayer sites and grave sites, I am proud of those who ran and stood to say, we will not allow them to assault our mother. Here at KPPPLP, people have been reaching out to us on social media and Twitter to report information or thank us for our reporting. Here are a couple. On Twitter, from @RebelSue, people have to drive several miles south to access service. Also, have choppers and a fixed-wing aircraft. Also, the cowardly law enforcement and private security goons have cell and Wi-Fi blocking. On Facebook, from Robin Loudwer, thank you for reporting with integrity and truth. So many other news groups are not. to send us your news updates and information, tweet us at @media_PPP or like us and follow us on Facebook at the People's Press Project, 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, and Mexi-Can. You can also go to kpppfm.com or email us at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com. To understand more fully what occurred, let's hear from Tim Wentz, the native anthropologist who had identified and filed amended documentation in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. on Friday, September 2nd, of native burial sites, sacred prayer sites, and dozens of artifacts in the direct path of the Dapple Pipe construction. He explains what the site means for indigenous people, as well as to the historic preservation of the state's history.
Okay, my name is Tim Mintz. We have a company named Makoche Wo'opi. The translation is Earth Writings. And today we're standing in a section of the Dapple Corridor. And as you look towards the east here, that's going towards 18. You're looking at 1806 over the hill, the road. And today, there was some action here where Dakota Access has come in through their corridor easement on the west side. This is looking west. And they dropped their machinery approximately almost 2 miles, a mile and a half this way west on the David Myers property, and came this way east, traveling east, scraping a foot of ground, basically leveling the ground. And that's part of their project objective. But the main thing here today is that there was portions of these sites that we had just filed Friday in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. as an amendment to the declaration that I provided initially August 24th when the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe filed suit on in the form of a preliminary injunction to stop the Dakota Access. Today we're looking at an area here that has been scraped. It's a 150-foot corridor. There was multiple sites within this corridor section, and we were never allowed to get inside the 150 corridor, but we recorded outside looking in, and we had 82 features along this corridor, and 27 graves were identified within this area. And this site in particular was one of the five that I mentioned in my declaration. Was Chantet Inzapa Wapaha. It's the coop stick of the Strongheart Society. And these types of sites are really hard to find. And this type of site here was, there's very limited recordations within the Great Plains here, but the tribes have very well knowledge of these types of sites where our people came to these types of areas. And in this case, we have two stone rings, and actually three half rings, what we call arcs or crescent moons. It's really actually the handle of the dipper, where the Natchez or the Straight Lance people stand to fast. And there's three of them here because they put their mark on the ground through stones. The stones are about that big, and they're placed very specific to where the setting of this contour of the land is. If you notice, there's a little drainage here. Every site that we have culturally is linked to water. Miniwichoni, again, that's what you've been hearing with this issue with Dakota Access. While it's very evident here with the little drainage here, there's a spring right down the hill here. And how it's tied to this site is through the people that brought their spirituality to these areas and made pledges, two forms. On this hill right up here, off to my right, when we first got here, August 28th, we immediately seen two burials on the crest of the hill. And that's within the corridor. This area right here has a burial that's probably right underneath that pile of soil there. It cut halfway into the site. It actually took off the Strongheart coop stick. It's a line of rock that goes approximately 8 to 9 feet, and it swirls. It's also called a Wagamuha for the Strongheart Society, and special uses for that I can't explain right now. But what is important is here that these are very limited in recordation. In other words, there's not too many, if any. These are probably the only ones that we actually North Dakota has seen in the State Historic Preservation Office's database. Archaeologists, they don't see these. The archaeology firm that came through here walked over these. They do not have a connection that we have to our spiritual walk of life in relation to how our society members and leadership came to these types of areas to give those types of commitments or pledges. Today we're looking at an area that has totally destroyed one part of our society's walk of life, where pledges were made, where gifts that were given from Wakankanka.
Dallas Goldtooth joined the march and prayer ceremony on Sunday and explained how the indigenous water and sacred land protectors were doing in the aftermath of the DAPL workers' destruction of their sacred sites.
So we have a gathering that's starting now, folks, of prayer. The purpose of this march, this is a protect the sacred rally march that we're going to be doing here, to send prayers for the land that was disturbed and the prayers for the ancestors whose grave sites were bulldozed over. Because those of us as Native people understand that this fight and the struggle is not just for the environment, for the physical land, but also for the spiritual and sacred integrity of Mother Earth and our ancestors who came before us. So we want to walk in prayer and send healing and blessings to all our relatives and to those ancestors who were buried there.
Correction. Here at KPPPLP, we received reports which used mace and pepper spray interchangeably. We want to clarify that only pepper spray and not mace have been used against the water protectors. We apologize for any confusion. The protesters at the Red Warrior Camp have been very clear that they want to dispel myths, not perpetuate them. They want to combat the misinformation and lies with honesty and integrity. They recently put out this message from the Red Warrior Camp about a message circulating on social media which was tricking people into sharing it, decrying the injuries of a little girl, and trying to associate them with the wounded at Standing Rock. In fact, the image was false. This is what they said. Contrary to yesterday's aggressive action toward peaceful protesters by the private security company hired by the energy and oil companies, this image of a young girl with a gash wound on her cheek did not come from yesterday's attack. This image has been circulating for years on Google. Stay tuned to the real news coming from the front lines in the Red Warrior Camp's page. We are the truth, and we will rely only on facts. And the fact is, they are going to ramp up psychological efforts to incite us to violence. And that's how they win. This isn't an amateur group. This is a Blackwater-like team with experience executing tactics to achieve their mission. They are trying to incite violence, to steal our moral and legal authority to protect our lands and our water. North Dakota police officers stood and watched while a private company used attack dogs and mace on unarmed protectors, violating their human, civil, treaty, and constitutional rights. Stay disciplined. Stay vigilant. The false narratives in the for-profit corporate media aren't just frustrating in the way that they seek to erase the voices of water protectors, but dangerous when they cause increasingly violent and dangerous actions to be taken against peaceful protesters. That's why protesters are asking for the public to take action by calling the Morton County Sheriff's Office, making the following statement. The public is asked to call the Morton County Sheriff's Office and demand that they cease and desist and put an end to making false statements about the water protectors. These false statements are clearly aimed at escalating the situation for the purpose of using force against peaceful water protectors. Additionally, remind the sheriff that their job is to protect the peaceful protesters, not to permit paid thugs to attack human beings with dogs. The number to call is 701-667-3330. The camp is also asking for your support. To donate, go to the Red Warrior Camp at tinyurl.com/Red Warrior Legal and follow them on Twitter at Red Warrior Camp. For more updates on the Sacred Stone Camp, news releases, and ways for you to support the camp or make a donation, you can also visit sacredstonecamp.org. Thanks for tuning in to this special report about Standing Rock. Mini Wachoni, Water is Life.